following was produced by Pirate Radio Studios Incorporated in Memphis, Tennessee.
Hello, my name is Rick Cheddar, and this is From Radioland.
Greetings, salutations, hello, hey, how's it going? Welcome to another episode from Radioland, from the home office in Memphis, Tennessee. This is episode two, number 295. Five more weeks of this mess and we're at episode 300. Should we have a party? Should we do something special? Should we? It's just another number. It's like when people, you know, make a big deal about the way dates line up in sequential order or something weird like that. And it's like, okay, it's whatever. It's nothing to get too worked up about. It's just another number. Been doing this faithfully 300 weeks, roughly. We can go that far. And it's funny, too. There are those who really take the whole podcasting thing far more seriously than I do. I get that. But having been a broadcaster for all these years, and still am doing the same, this doesn't necessarily count, I don't think. It's just an on-demand thing, I treat it like a radio show, really, and that's really kind of how that works. There's even commercials in it. We'll hear one here in just a little while. But some people take it a little too far. Reddit is an interesting place because the subreddits, you look it up, anything, there's a subreddit for podcasters and all this. Anyway, some of these people in there, they really take this to the extreme. They take a lot of things to the extreme, no matter what your hobby is. I mean, there's always those that really just go, you know, head first into it. And there are people out there who think that, you know, to successfully run a podcast, you should have a staff of five people and you should have this, that, and the other. And you have to edit out all the breaths and we don't do any editing around here. This stuff is just happening the way it goes. Free thought. It's a run of conscious thing that just happens. That's just me personally. I know there are some that do a far better job of polishing their shows, but there again, you can only polish a turd so far. You know what I'm saying? You know, and I'm. It's not like this is a turd. Well, maybe it is. it has its moments for sure. But be that as it may, there's no sense in just, you know, going hog wild over something like this. It's a podcast, or as the kids are calling it, it's a pod. Yeah, bro, got my pod coming out later today. Yeah. When do you release your pod, Rick? On Sundays, which is what today is. I do it on the day of its release. I've pushed this thing as far. I've used to do this like a week in advance, and now I'm balls deep in it to the point where we do it the day it goes up. I'm recording this in about an hour from now, from the time I'm doing this, it'll be released. So clearly, it's not like I'm putting a whole lot of real effort into this. Or it's either that or I got it. I've got the science down pretty well. And I think that sort of annoys some people that are not really, you know, they're not comfortable working in these type of confined environments. That's just how this is. You know, everybody takes their stuff seriously, which is great. But there comes a point where you got to dial it back some. You got to just, you know, it's not that big a deal. It's a podcast. It's an on-demand radio show. It's content. It's what it is. You know, we'll probably go for another, 25 minutes and this show will be done. It's just that simple. Let's not get too far ahead of ourselves. Coming up, we'll get into our topic du jour, if you will, and it's along the same lines regarding the human voice. I've talked a little bit about what I'm going to get into before, but I want to get into this a little bit differently and more along the emotional connections of the human voice. I know it sounds kind of weird and lofty, but you know, coming from a guy like me. Trust me, it isn't going to get all that lofty. Probably kind of weird, but still, that's just kind of what we do. You know what I'm saying? Also, the unpopular thought of the program is coming up here in just a little while and more, and you're listening to it right here from Radioland. We'll be right back.
Get on the Memphis Brew Bus. Every Saturday at 2 p.m., we'll take a 3.5-hour adventure through the Memphis craft brewery scene. The Memphis Brew Bus stops at three local breweries for some special behind-the-scenes tours, talks with the master brewers, and, of course, tasting of their signature brews. While on the bus, you'll hear stories and learn about the history of beer. Plus, you'll get some music from the Radio Memphis Library. Go to memphisbrewbus.com and find them on Facebook. The Memphis Brew Bus. We'll drive you to drink.
See, that's something else that annoys people. a commercial. Why do you got to run a commercial in there? That's so I don't have to charge you for listening to the show. If I did that, if I made it a subscription-based only show, I doubt there would be that many subscribers. It just, you know, then you're really narrowing down your audience when you do that. It's that whole, you know, why am I paying money for something I should be able to get for free? It's like when you read the news online, you know, the newspaper websites are notorious for this. You know, a lot of them are free, and then some of them are like, you know, they give you two or three articles to read, and then they want you to, you know, subscribe. And when you subscribe, all you wind up getting are ads. You know, it's all it is. It's nothing beyond that. Nevertheless, but you know, podcasting for I guess a lack of another way to look at it, it involves a human being or two or three or more. Sitting down and talking. In this particular case, it's just me. It's all we have on the program this time out. And it does, I think what it does, and there's a number of reasons why this format of communication has become rather popular. I don't mean communication, but as far as, because I don't really like to use the term broadcast. I mean, technically it is. I mean, it's one source being disseminated amongst, you know, many people. So I guess technically that's a broadcast, or as the podcast or the pod bra. The whole notion here is that the reason it's successful is, first of all, it's on your schedule. You can listen to this whenever you want to. You could be doing something else completely different. You know, you could be cleaning the house. You could be, I don't know, doing something and to get prepping up for dinner or whatever it is that you're doing. Getting dressed, getting ready for Monday, whatever your MO is, and you're listening to this, that's great. And this is what the reason why it's successful is that. That's one of the reasons. It allows you to take it on your own schedule, your own time. You can pause it, take a phone call, take a dump, whatever you got to do, and you can come right back to it, and it's still happening. You see what I'm saying? Although I do find it sort of amusing that there's probably a percentage of you that are sitting in the toilet right now. That I'm fairly convinced is a thing. And if you are, I hope everything comes out okay. But the other reason why this sort of audio-only thing is a thing is because I think it's in our inherent desires, it's in our nature as people to listen to somebody else talk. We want to hear that. There's a connection there. There is this whole thing about somebody who is sitting in a studio, in this case, Studio A. You can imagine it the way you want to. Sitting here at a desk, got two monitors in front of me. I got the recorder thing going I'm looking at, and I got some other stuff on my other monitor over here. Notes, if you will. Not even that. Something to spur my thought. But there's this idea that you have in your head that this guy's sitting down wearing headphones, talking into a microphone and trying to relay a thought or a series of thoughts or a stream of consciousness to you who's listening to this on a very personal level. And that's all well and good. There's a sense of not being alone. That's important. And I think that's what drives audio-only productions. It's a real thing. You know, the success of radio. Look, radio technically isn't necessarily going anywhere. It's still going to be around. It's changing forms. It's changing the way you're changing the way you get it. It not necessarily may be AM or AM is dead, or FM, which is nearly dead. There's internet radio, which is a big thing now. And then you've got podcasts, which are huge. They've killed morning drive radio. And the reason for this, a lot of this is, there is still that connection that has to happen between individuals. There may be some of you that are incredibly lonely and yet fearful of the public. I don't blame you. I get that. But you still crave some sort of comfort by finding something like this to listen to, whether it's this show or the billions of others that are out there, and you become comfortable with it. It's a sense of not being too left out, not being too alone. You can enjoy this at your own speed, at your own privacy, whatever the case may be. And when you have that need for that connection, that need for that type of interaction, if you will, even if it's a one-way road, it becomes a very important part of your life. How often has it, you know, for those who watch television, for example, say like a late night television show, like, I don't know, pick one, Colbert or somebody. There is a sense of comfort when you've watched it enough times that you are sitting there as part of this audience, this show, this thing that's happening, that allows you to kind of witness this in a different form. You know, you're in the privacy of your own home. You're enjoying a conversation between some people. You're hoping to laugh a little bit. They're hoping you laugh a little bit. They're hoping you come back and you become entertained, and you're in and out of there in an hour. And it's, you know, it's not so bad. That sort of comfort, I think, has been stripped away a little bit because of, like, digital media. Even though, you know, those of us who work in this industry do strive, and there's a peek behind the curtain a little bit, you try and create that stability of place, you know, that environment, whether you actually see it or not. In radio, of course, you're not going to see anything. It's just what you have in your mind. And when you have that, and you go, there's a sense of comfort, even if it's just for a few minutes, that I can sit here and I can listen to this and I can enjoy this in my own privacy. I can argue with him in my mind. I can agree with him in my mind. You can do whatever you want. And when you have that, then you've, in a sense, recharged yourself. Now imagine a world where you don't have that. If you can, even somehow rub enough brain cells together to see what it would be like to not have this. I'm not talking about this show, but I'm talking about podcasts in general. I'm talking about radio. I'm talking about television. What if you didn't have any of this? You go mad. You go nuts. You go crazy. Because you can sit there and listen to an individual and may never meet them in your entire life. May never even reach out and send an email or a message or anything like that. You could be in your own island. But there is a sense of security and a sense of connection when you have something like this. That's just a reality. Everybody craves this sort of thing. When I worked at a commercial FM station, of which I've talked about many a times, there was always this thing, corporate, those idiots, they would tell you, don't turn on the mic and talk. They want to hear the music. They're here for the music. It was a classic rock station. We had, 170 tunes in rotation. It was ridiculous. And all it was people, you know, telling you that the most important thing that you could ever have happen to your life was to hear another Eagles cut. Whether you had a morning show that was number one or it didn't matter. They didn't want you talking. They wanted to put the screws down on that. And the reason why they didn't want you talking, because if you did really good, they'd have to pay you for it. That's the bottom line. They have to pay you more, let's put it that way. Because we weren't doing it for free. However, that's the way they thought of this thing. Now look what's happened all this time now. The internet has come along. We carry it all in our pockets. We have everything we could ever, the sum collective knowledge of all of humanity in the palm of our hand. All the entire history of the world is right there. And even in certain extents, what the future holds. Many of you are listening to this program on your device right now. Most of you are. Some of you may be on a laptop, desktop, that kind of thing. I get it. But you have you may have your headphones in. You may be listening through speakers. Whatever the case may be, it's a consumption, and you're tuning in to hear a voice, whether or not you necessarily like it or not. It doesn't. You know, I would prefer if you did. It would kind of suck if you didn't. This is how it goes. But you're also seeking out that connection. Because we put the shows out. Those of us that do this, we put the shows out there. And the audience gets attracted to it. And that's what happens. The audience seeks out the show. It's not the other way around. And when they do, then a connection is made. And then, hey, how's it going? What's happening? Like we care. And in reality, we do. But at least some of us do. But the bottom line is, when you are, whatever mood you're in when you're listening to a show like this, you're hoping to alter it. So that's what we do as humans. We're not necessarily content being in one mood. Even if it's happiness or joy, we're always looking for a way to either increase that or change it in some way, shape, or another. If we're depressed, we're looking for a way out of that. If we're angry, we're looking for a way to not be angry. Or if we seem content, we may be looking for a reason to be angry. How many times This is a rhetorical question, of course. How many times do you, like when you're in the shower, getting ready for your day, or getting ready for bed, or whatever, whenever you do that, and you're in there all lathered up and whatnot, and your brain's doing its thing, you know? I mean, because you're on autopilot at that point. You've all taken enough baths. Hopefully, you've got this thing down. And you're in there, and you conjure up these imaginary debates or an argument in your head. We all do it. We pretend that we're having a debate with somebody, maybe somebody famous, maybe somebody not. And your brain is going back and forth with it. That's very healthy, really, because it's, even though it's an internal conversation that no one knows about, that's kind of what's happening, though. That's what's inside your head. There's nothing wrong with that at all. That's a good thing. A lot of times I will often think back of maybe a discussion I may have had with somebody and replayed that discussion in my head and realized that there were certain things I should have said instead of what I did. Damn it, I should have said this. Damn it, I should have said that. I should have called him a big doo-doo head and left. You know, one of those things. We do that, and it's sort of a way for us to prepare for the next time it comes back around. And when you have that, once again, it's a connection. It's what happens between two people. We're not designed, for the most part, to live in a solitary environment or in a solitary type of situation. There are those. You got your hermits and people that still will live in caves and be perfectly content with not, you know, coming out and seeing the public. As much as I hate society at times, it's still necessary. I don't really care for the public at large. I mean, as far as like, you know, people, I have my friends, but people as a group are dumb, panicky animals, and it bothers me sometimes. You know, there's sometimes, and you may share this, you may not, there are those that, and I'm one of them, has to kind of gear myself up a little bit when I know that I'm going to have to go deal with a grocery store or a hardware store. But at the same time, this is the weird deal. I hate the fact that there's this self-checkout thing. You would think for an introvert, somebody like me would probably be okay with that because then I don't have to deal with anybody at all. But at the same time, there's that, first of all, I don't work at that place, and there's the whole practicality of it, or impracticality of it, that the store is doing it to save money on paying somebody to do this job. But at the same time, even if I've spent my entire day at home and not interacted with anybody but the dog, and I decide that I need to go to a store and pick something up, and I go there, that I'll go through the checkout line with a human being running the register just so I can have that moment of interaction with a real human being. And the reason why that is, I guess for a guy like me, is it's like, you know, maybe I can still do this. I can still have a conversation and not feel like I'm just some weird, crazy dude living under a rock. It doesn't feel like that, you know? I know it all sounds strange, and this is coming from somebody who has a fear of public speaking, mind you. You know that, don't you? There's a whole episode on this. But any rate, It still goes back to that connection. It still goes back to having that ability to communicate with somebody. For whatever reason, Lord knows, I have been dragged to parties that I don't want to go. I did not want to go, and I usually leave there going, I'm kind of glad I went. There are those times or situations where you just I have nothing in common with these people, none whatsoever, and the conversations are awkward because they feel the same way about me as I do them. It's not a hateful thing by any means. It's just there is an attempt to sort of communicate, even if it's just a handshake and a hey, how you doing? So tell me, you do blah, 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 and it's a blah, 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 blah. And these are conversations that are in essence disposable because we just throw them away. We don't think about them beyond that. We really don't. There's no real substance to what goes on unless you find the connections a little bit deeper and you realize, hey, you know, this guy's okay. I like this guy. And then you start talking about some other stuff, and the next thing you know, you guys have had plans to go do something or be at some other place at the same time because of your shared interest, perhaps. That's how dating works in some aspects, I suppose, because I've been off the market for a long time. Thankfully, the immigrant took me from that, so that's that's a good thing. However, you still have to go out and you develop these interpersonal relationships with the other human beings. And how is it that we do this, or why is it that we do this? Is the fact that I think we actually do crave it. I think that's really what the bottom line is here, is we absolutely have to have it. Whether we want to do it or not, we know that we have to have it. And for many people, radio fills that gap. It does, because here you and I are right now, you and I, and we're having a conversation, although albeit one-sided, that's all well and good. And you're listening to this and you're sitting there thinking, man, I am just like that. Or, God, that your life must suck because that's where you are. Or it's like, I pity you. I don't want your pity. I really don't. I don't need that. Maybe your understanding would be okay, but that's about it. But that's just it. We're all different. We're all human beings cut from basically different bolts of cloth. We have to be. We're all very much individualistic individuals. I know that sounds ridiculous, but that's really what that is. You know, I've had many dogs in my life, and here of late we've had greyhounds, and greyhounds all sort of look the same. They all have that same dopey look on their face, and they all have a lot of the same traits, but they're all each very unique. They're all very different in their personalities. So even amongst the animals, as simple as a dog, which, you know, quite frankly, after having spending some time in the public, hanging around with a dog seems like a really cool thing to do. And it is. It's an awesome thing to do. Wish I could take him to more places that he would be more welcome, but, you know, such as it is. It's the life of the dog. But, you know, he doesn't get this. You know, I go to fire up the studio to record this. He leaves the room. He doesn't understand exactly what I'm talking about. He doesn't want to understand. He doesn't need to understand. He's a dog. He's got things to do. He's got to go into the other room and go lick his ass for a while. That's what he does. But the rest of us that seek this out will find it in various ways. Through an on-demand program like this, or by finding some sort of thing online, a live broadcast. See, there's something special about a live broadcast, and I'll tell you why. Because there's a switch inside your head that gets flipped when this happens. Podcast, you're catching it on demand. Chances are you're probably the only one listening to this at the exact same point in time. Just the way it works. There may be some overlap and stuff, but for the most part, this is an individual thing with you. You could pause it. You could fast forward. You could use it at different speeds. Whatever the case is. And there's a bit of comfort in that. Now, a live broadcast is different because even in our own simple simian brains, there's that switch that gets flipped where we know that there's something even more special going on, because now we're sharing this moment on live on the air with everybody at the same time. And when that happens, then we know that there's something really cool and I feel like I'm part of the club. It's just that simple. I hear from people from time to time after a live show that will say, that was really nice. I've been sitting at home. I've been under the weather. I hear that a bit. I've been sort of sick. I've been looking for something to do while I'm trying to feel better. And I, you know, pop in my headphones or my earbuds, and or I listen to my laptop, and I just kind of lay there in bed and I hear the show, and it was a big fun time, and it felt cool to be a part of something. And that's what it is. We all crave to be a part of something. That's why churches exist. This is why there are clubs, fraternities, and sororities. This is why they exist. This is why there are certain organizations for like-minded individuals, because they're using that thing that's inside of everybody that feels like we have to belong to something. We need to be in place of a thing that we know is larger than all of us. And broadcasting, to a certain extent, does that. You don't have to be in a fraternity or a sorority. You don't have to be in a club. You don't have to do this, that, or the other. You can still be very independent, but at the same time, you can still feel like you're a part of something when you become a listener to a show like this, or to a live radio show, or to a television show that you may like. That's a thing. You know, watching a game on television is a great way to understand what that is, because not only do you have something in common with everybody else in the room that's watching it with you, or unless you're watching it by yourself, you know damn well that right at that moment in bars and restaurants and other people's homes are watching the same thing. And then you got the, 80,000 people in the same room as the event itself is happening, and they're all watching it as well. And now you feel that connection. And it's the same thing. It's the implication of the human voice and its necessary existence in all of our lives. It's a little bit of a trick, but to understand this a little bit fully, you have to keep in mind the following thing. We know this. Those of us that have been in this business as long as we have know this, and we know the power of that. That whole thing. You'll never hear me talk like this on the air, live on the air. This is different. This is very different. This is kind of more impromptu and certainly improvisational speech, but it's all based on the same thought and idea. That there are those that, and I've heard from people who do this, they will simply listen because it's the sound of another voice. And there's a comfort to that. There really is, especially when it's not about hate, because God Almighty, when people start pushing that hate button, whether they're on the air or not, oh my God, and it sets your teeth on edge, and you start, you're clenched and jawed, and you're just under stress, and when the show's over, if you've made it that far, you're like, God, I need a shower after all of that. But if it's about something like this, and we're talking about common ground, and Lord have mercy, we all may be very individual, right? Very different people, individually. We're all unique. But we also have a lot of shared things, too. A lot of common connections. And having, being the guy sitting here at the microphone, I understand it. Most of the people that do this for a living understand it as well. And it's important, and we're glad to be a part of it. So, there.
It's summertime, and Wizards has all your outdoor fun covered. Memphis' number one alternative smoke and vape shop is your CBD headquarters, but they're not just a CBD or smoke shop. Novelty t-shirts, hats, sunglasses, and more. New stuff in the store every day. Woodwick candles, silver jewelry, tapestries and candles, and really cool backflow incense burners. Great deals throughout the store. $19.99 Madison Avenue, open 10 to 10, 7 days a week. Online at memphiswizards.com. Wizards, because it's still smoking. Must be 18 or older to buy smoking-related material.
Here's what's coming up on the next episode from Radioland with Rick Cheddar.
If you'll remember, it wasn't too terribly long ago during the height of the whole reality television thing when people started putting two and two together and understanding that reality TV was fake. And it was the rest of us in this business were kind of laughing about it because, boy howdy, if y'all really knew how much of this shit was fake, y'all'd be flipped out. And that was the case, man. In Morning Drive Radio, so much of that stuff was... Even though what we did was improv and it happened in the moment, there was so much of it that was faked. And it got to the point, even with the people that I was working with at the time, Clear Channel, they came to us and said, hey, we want you to start scripting all of these bits, even the phone calls, so we can make it sound a little more like it's supposed to. I'm like, have you people lost your minds? We don't have to script anything because humanity's just fucked up enough to make it work all on its own, and it doesn't need a help from some really shitty script writer.
For previous episodes, go to radio-memphis.com. To download episodes to your mobile device, search the show in iTunes, player.fm, stitcher.com, Pocket Cast, or TuneIn. And now, here's more with Rick Cheddar from Radioland.
Right, you heard what's coming up next time on the program, such as that. That'll be good. Episode 296 will be what that is, since this is episode 295. How about that? I got your unpopular thought for this time out. It occurred to me. Now look, this is going to sound, it's going to be, because a lot of you are going to go, oh, wait a minute, how is that unpopular when a lot of people sort of agree with that? Well, because if it was popular, it would be happening. Here's the thing. Here's the unpopular thought. Fast food restaurants would be far more endearing to everybody if they served liquor. Or beer. They really would. Think about it. What's holding them back? And, you know, I've made this point to somebody somewhere. I forget where. Was at a party or something like that. I said, you know, if McDonald's really wanted to make something right, you know, they'd offer, you know, rum coladas or a McMargarita, you know, something like that. And somebody was at the party went, how irresponsible are you to think that like this? And I said, what are you talking about? I said, well, that's a kid's place. I said, really? I get it. But if you've ever been into McDonald's when there's been like a dozen kids running around as though their heads are on fire, have you ever done that? Have you been around the ball pit? Do you know what I'm talking about? Lord have mercy, mama and daddy would feel so much better if they could get, you know, a McBeer to be able to pass the McTime. You see what I'm saying?
It's just irresponsible to have... You know, alcohol when there's kids around.
Really? How come there's a new trend in this country these days? And I know this to be real because I know of a place, maybe a couple of places, where children now are allowed to go to these. And these are bars. Okay, make no mistake, they have live entertainment, they serve beer, they have shots, they got all this going on, and they've got a playground area for the kids. How you're going to tell me it's irresponsible to be able to go to Sonic and have a, you know, have some rum added to any of the plethora of cocktails that they already offer? Come on. Lighten up. Oh, it's in its own place. Oh, I think it'd be great to be able to take the kids to the bar. That way I don't have to worry about hiring a babysitter. Then you got to deal with the uncomfortableness of it, because you know this has happened. You know this has happened. Daddy, what's mommy doing? Having another shot of Jägermeister. Go over there. Go play on the swing set. I'll be right here. You know this happens. I don't know. It's just me. It's just the way I feel about it. And yeah, it's probably unpopular to even think that for a moment. A fast food joint should be... Look, the number one candidate to be selling liquor is Taco Bell. We all know this. They should just flat out fucking do it and be done. Because you're going to have those tacos. You might as well have a cold beer to go with it. You got to. Makes the whole world go round. Right, isn't that right there? Burger King? Wendy's could sell wine because it's appropriate. We want that because of the kids. Really? But we're going to take the kids over to the bar because that's what that's designed for. Really? How hypocritical is this? I need a drink. That's just it. As a matter of fact, here on this Sunday, the 6th day of October, when the day of this was released and produced, tonight at radio-memphis.com, 8 p.m. Central Time, it is the Booze and the Blues. I will be live on air over there this evening, and we have a band that is coming in from Missouri. Sister Lucille is bringing with them a brand new record that nobody has ever heard, except maybe a couple of people in their own family. So there's, we get to be like the first people to hear this. And not only hear it, we're broadcasting it live. So it's happening tonight, 8 p.m. Central at radio-memphis.com. Come join us for the fun over there. So there you go. On that note, I got to get... Y'all take care of yourselves, take care of one another, and for God's sake, stop shooting each other, okay? I'm Rick Cheddar, and this has been From Radioland.
Rick Cheddar from Radioland is produced by Pirate Radio Studios Incorporated, Memphis, Tennessee. All music performed during this episode was used by permission. No part of this program can be rebroadcast or used in any other way except by written consent. For bookings and other inquiries, you can write the show by sending an email to radioland@pirateradiostudios.com. For more, go to radio-memphis.com.